I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it. This is Your Kick-Ass Life Podcast, episode number 241 with guest Janine Roth.
This is the Your Kick-Ass Life Podcast with Andrea Owen, a no BS guide to self-help and badassery. Because ladies, let's face it, life's too short for it to not kick ass. And here's your host, the girl who serves it up straight with a side of crazy, Andrea Owen.
Hey, Ass Kickers, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you are here. And what I have been doing over the last 3 weeks, my voice is actually even a little bit hoarse right now because I got off two back-to-back calls with two of my listeners because I am in, what do you even call this? I guess open enrollment / applications / phone calls with people who are interested in joining the mentorship. And it's been a few years since I've offered a program like this and had applications to read and then jump on the phone with women who are a good fit to talk to them about it. And y'all, the thing that I love so much, the thing that is so amazing to me that I had forgotten about, that I forgot was like a side effect that is so selfishly amazing for me, is that I get to read about and hear your stories. You listen to me, some of you, every week. Thank you, by the way. And you know all my deepest, darkest secrets. And this is my opportunity to hear yours and to read yours. So thank you to all of you who have applied. And I'm just honored. I am genuinely, genuinely honored to be the person that you trust to answer the questions that I have on that application. So it's over at yourkickasslife.com/mentorship. And this program is really for anyone who's ready to do the next level work. I was talking to someone just like 30 minutes ago, and I said, this is not a beginner's course for personal development. It really is not. So it's for anyone who, you've probably done therapy. You've probably maybe done, signed up for like a digital course or a free course, and you listen to podcasts regularly. You read a lot of self-help and you are really ready for the next level. You are already on your way on your personal development journey and you are ready to, this might sound really cheesy and scary to some of you, but like buckle down and do the work. We have a handful of women who have already joined. I'm capping it at 12 women, super small group. If you think you're ready, I would love to talk to you. yourkickasslife.com/mentorship. Okay, so for this particular episode, I'm gonna be real with you here for a second. Not that I ever am not, but I was fangirling a little bit when Janine Roth came on the podcast. I have really, really loved her work. Probably the book that stood out the most to me, which you'll hear me talk about, is Women, Food, and God. And Janine is one of the pioneers in this industry, and I think that that's why I was fangirling. And I got off the interview, and I was like, I had a moment of inner critic meltdown of just like, what the fuck just happened? I just bombed that interview, being the interviewer. Like, how does an interviewer bomb? Oh my God. I was just nervous, and she's just such a big deal. And I felt like I have a feeling I was being way too hard on myself. I'm over it now. I'm just like, whatever. It is what it is. But I think I say that to you because I want y'all to know it is not every single day that I am my very best self. I try my very best, but there are some days where I might be nervous, where I might be fangirling and have anxiety. It happens to all of us. And I just want to tell you that because I always tell you guys when I struggle as well, and that I saw it happen. I'm like, okay, I think I'm really being too hard on myself. Well, so what? I didn't have a perfect day. I had a C+ day. Not my best work. Well, guess what else? The other 9 times out of 10, it is my best work. And it's just okay. It is what it is. You probably won't even notice a difference. I don't know if anybody will. Some of you might. That's okay. I don't think it's necessary for you to tell me if I sucked. So thanks anyway. But before we jump in, there might be like one or two of you who have never heard of Jeanine Roth. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Jeanine Roth is the author of 10 books, including the just released This Messy, Magnificent Life and the New York Times bestsellers When Food is Love, Lost and Found, and Women, Food, and God. She has been teaching groundbreaking workshops and retreats for over 30 years and has appeared on numerous national shows, including The Oprah Winfrey Show, 2020, The Today Show, Good Morning America, and The View. So without further ado, here is Jeanine. Jeanine, thank you so much for being here.
I'm glad to be here with you.
I am so excited on so many levels. I think that many of my listeners have read probably more than one of your books, and you have a brand new book out now, which I have had the honor of reading, This Messy, Magnificent Life, A Field Guide. And I know everyone already knows this, but all these links will be in the show notes if you want to grab that. And I want to start, you know, I hadn't planned on doing this, but before we jumped on this morning, Women, Food, and God was actually the first book that I read on this topic. And like many people, it was one of those books, I'm sure you've heard this before, where I was like, oh, somebody wrote about this and lives in my head and all of these thoughts and feelings. And of course, I have so many highlights, but I don't know if you do this or if anyone else listening does this, but I like to go back to self-help books that I read years ago and see what I highlighted.
Yes.
See what was going on for me there. And I do want to focus on your newer book, but I would love to, okay. So I was flipping through it. You guys can probably hear me like flipping through the pages. And this is from Women, Food, and God, An Unexpected Path to Almost Everything. This also will be in the show notes. And for people who might be new to your work, this is what I highlighted. On page 32, women turn to food when they are not hungry because they are hungry for something they can't name, a connection to what is beyond the concerns of daily life. And then on the following page, they know that something is not quite right in their lives. And because they are not at their ideal weights, they believe that food is the problem and that dieting will fix it. And it doesn't surprise me that I highlighted that. Can you briefly speak to that? And I'm sure that that is something that you hear very often from the women you work with and the women that come to your retreats.
Well, I think that wanting something more and deeper and bigger threads through all of our lives, whether we have issues with food or not. Mm-hmm. And actually, it was that I addressed in my new book, because mm-hmm. I realized that we all want that. We want to feel like we're living out the promise of ourselves. We can feel it inherently. We know it's there. We have a sense when we're missing our lives, even though we're living our lives, we're missing our lives, and we want that very badly. And we express that in many different ways. And for a while, and maybe for a long time, some people express it through their relationship with food. And some other people express it through or express the discomfort of not knowing how to do that or what that is through their relationship with work, their colleagues, their mm-hmm. children, the internet. There are so many ways to distract ourselves from that knowing and from the discomfort of knowing that and not knowing what to do to actualize that, so to speak.
Yes. So many yeses in that. And I know that there are a lot of parallels. I have a lot of women that listen to the podcast that struggle with drinking. And I think there's so many parallels in your books in regards to food and drinking and some differences. But I also love how it seems, you know, in reading this messy, magnificent life, it seems that probably all of your books, but more even specifically this one, it shows the evolution of your own life, which is neat for us to get and see that. And how does this new book relate to your past books and even more specifically with Woman, Food, and God?
Yes. I started this book because I wanted to know, and usually I start every book that I've written with a question. I'm not always aware of the question when I'm starting to write. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm not aware of the question until I'm halfway into the book. But the question became apparent, and that is, was it possible to use what I discovered in my relationship with food in the whole rest of my life? Because I had a hellish relationship with food and with my body for a very, very long time, judgmental, shaming, self-loathing, up and down the scale so much, always feeling fat and not good enough. And I resolved that relationship.
Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal, and that they won't already have can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
And I wanted to see if it was possible to use what I learned about that in the whole rest of my life, in situations, everyday situations that were challenging, like being sick, being rejected, feeling abandoned, feeling like a failure, feeling like I wasn't good enough. There was a chapter there where I talk about breaking my back, you know, to the very challenging everyday situations or the messiness of our lives, which is what the word, this messy, magnificent life refers to there. All of our lives are messy. It's just messy on this.
Yes,
you
I
know
that.
We have human bodies and we're vulnerable and fragile. No matter how powerful we feel, we're vulnerable to having our hearts broken. We're vulnerable to having our bones broken. We're vulnerable to getting sick. We're vulnerable to the grief of someone we love dying.
Yes.
So there's an inherent challenge in being human. There are also fabulous things about it, but there are challenging things about it. And I wanted to see whether it was possible to sort of meet those challenges in the same way that I met the challenge of my relationship with food, which is to say, with openness, with curiosity, with a lot of kindness, with certain tools of learning how to stay in my body, breathe, be in my body, disengage from the judgmental, shaming voice, which I call the crazy aunt in the attic, be aware of what wasn't wrong on a daily basis, change those old neuro pathways or behavior patterns by focusing on the good. And since we found out that that's possible, it's actually possible to change the brain and actually change the way we think and therefore the way we feel, I wanted to see if that was possible. I had been in many years of therapy and also had been engaged in rigorous spiritual practice for decades, but somehow it wasn't translating to those everyday situations in my life. And so I wrote this book as a way of finding out if it was possible.
I love that. And I love that you have a question to ask yourself when you write a book. And again, so many yeses in that. I think that to me, to live is to be vulnerable. And I always say too, it's like you want to pull all your skeletons out of the closet, get in a relationship with someone, whether that's a deep female friendship or a romantic partnership. That'll kick your butt. And I recorded two podcast episodes. I will throw those in the show notes for everybody listening. A friend of mine came on and we just had, it was not like a We Are the Experts episode. It was, here's an honest conversation between two women regarding diet culture. And my friend had recently come to a big epiphany about her own struggles with food and weight and size. And I had been on the journey. I've been on it for about 8 years. And to be honest with you, sort of more quietly, it was not an open conversation. I had just sort of realized it when I was talking to my friend and she was sort of like, why haven't we had this conversation before? And I said, because I knew that you weren't ready. And it was interesting to me to realize how quiet I had been in my own journey on it. But what made me think of it is that you said the word curiosity. And for me, I took about a 2-year break from exercising because I have a fitness background. I have a degree in exercise physiology. That was my love and passion. And I could not ever remember a time exercising without the sole purpose, the number one goal was to change the size of my body. And I decided I was done doing that. And if it meant that I just stopped for a while, so be it. And what I did was I came at it from a place of curiosity. I just took a step back as the weight started to come on my body. I just got curious about it and threw myself into self-compassion. I love that you call your inner critic the crazy aunt in the attic. I just was sort of like, I mean, for the sake of sounding really strange, it's like I took a step back and was looking at it from another lens and just got fiercely curious about it. And it was so much easier than fighting against it. And I am back to exercising and for the first time in my life, and I can honestly say I am exercising to take care of myself.
Yeah.
And it was I'll probably get emotional if I talk too much about it, but it was all of that to say it was everything that you were just talking about. It was fear self-compassion and curiosity. And I also want to ask you about meditation, because you mentioned that you're a meditation failure. I too as well have struggled with that. So tell us what you mean by that, and what do you have any tips to selfishly asking the question, but I think a lot of my listeners tend to be, they tend to be overachievers and all up in their head. So what can you teach us about that?
Well, for me, what I mean by that is that I could manage at times to sit quietly. I've been on many meditation retreats where they were silent and we sat and or walked for 45 minutes at a time, 15 hours a day. And there were lovely breakthroughs, but when I got home, they didn't integrate into the rest of my life.
Oh.
And so I wanted to find a meditation, so to speak, that could integrate, would integrate, that would affect how I lived my life, not just for the half an hour that I was sitting on a cushion. That's what I mean by that. And then there were, of course, many moments where I was sitting on a cushion where I, too, as an overachiever, felt like I was supposed to be not having any thoughts, and I would be over, my mind would be overrun by thoughts. And so I felt like a failure in that regard as well, that I wasn't achieving the good meditator badge. And so I was feeling more like a failure, which, of course, is not the point of meditation.
Right.
The point of meditation is really to get to know your mind and to witness the onrush of thoughts and to see this space in which those thoughts are happening in, to see that there's something that is always spacious, regardless of how crowded your mind might feel. The only reason you can notice your thoughts is because there's something there that isn't thinking, you know, like a room. If a room didn't have space in it, you wouldn't be able to see the furniture. If all there was in a room was one giant couch, the whole thing would be a giant couch. It wouldn't be a room. It would be a couch. So that's how it is with thinking. There's got to be something besides your thoughts. And the point of meditation is to actually see the space, feel the space, and see that you are that space. But that was not happening for me. So that's why I considered myself a failure.
Same. I what I have done now is I just whatever happens when I meditate, I don't judge it. And I used to be voting on it and grading it. And I have found that to be so helpful that it just, it is what it is. When I notice that I'm flooded with thoughts, I just quietly, I like to imagine, I do the same thing when I have insomnia. I imagine me putting all of the thoughts that are just making me not sleep, I put them in drawers in my mind, I close the drawers. I don't know. It helps me sleep. But it's similar with meditation. It's just like escorting them out of the room. Okay, thank you for being here. It's your time to leave. And sometimes I do that over and over again during my meditation.
Well, I think what's important is that people understand there isn't just one kind of meditation. There isn't meditation can also be any activity that you do that brings you into the present moment. So for some people, sitting on a cushion is not and will never be it. Moving will. Does it allow you to heighten your awareness, to be aware that you have a body, that this body is being held on the earth by gravity, that these bodies' feet are touching the earth, that you have hands, that you have legs? Does it allow you to be present? Because anything in which your alertness, awakeness, awareness is getting heightened, and the thoughts therefore go into the background, moving, if you're really aware of the feeling of your feet on the ground, of the movement of your legs and your breath, that also is a meditation. So the meditation has been defined a little too narrowly, in my opinion.
Great advice. I absolutely am grateful for that little piece of advice, because I think that we tend to, and I'm fairly certain that a lot of my listeners feel this way, we are disconnected from our bodies. And that can be an amazing meditation.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/noise, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/noise to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/noise.
Well, hey there, busy mama. Are you looking for ways to make your life easier, your home less chaotic, and at the same time, add more joy to your life? My name is Deanna Yates, and I'm the host of Wanna Be Clutter Free, a podcast all about letting go of the stuff we don't need in our lives so that we can focus on what truly matters. Don't worry, I'm not going to tell you to throw it all away or make you feel guilty about keeping something you love, no matter how many other people don't quite understand it. But I will give you practical and, more importantly, actionable advice so that you can make progress right away. And you won't just hear it from me. There are amazing guests, too. It's like having your bestie in your pocket, telling you it's okay to let go of the things that are not serving you and your family in a totally non-judgmental way. So join me over on the podcast where we can work on progress over perfection for those of us that want to be clutter-free.
I also want to circle back to what you said about the crazy aunt in the attic, because we talk a lot about the inner critic here. I give all kinds of tips and have a course on it and everything. But I love when guests come on and tell me their own tips and different names for it. And so can you, in your own words, tell us what that is and how do you teach people to deal with it?
Yes. Well, everybody's got one of these voices. Every single person who has lived beyond the age of 4 years old, mm-hmm. has a voice, because it's a developmental necessity. We all need to learn how to be amongst other people, how not to throw food on the wall, how not to bite people's hands, how to say please and thank you, and not throw tantrums in public like that. Mm-hmm. And do that by internalizing external authority voices. That's how we do it. We're taught to do it. And that coagulation of voices becomes the superego, or what I call the crazy aunt in the attic in Women, Food, and God. I called it the GPS from the Twilight Zone, because it is adaptive at the beginning, and we need that when we're kids, but it has now become maladaptive. What happens is that voice functions to keep us small, to keep us from growing, to keep us obeying the status quo. And so the hard part of that voice being so active in all of us, and there is a whole chapter in This Messy, Magnificent Life about this. It's called Hoodwinked by Suffering, because this has really been something that has been a challenge for me to work with. And I'm continuing to work with it. I don't feel like that I've arrived in any sense. No. Although what I consider growth is that now it comes up, I recognize it. And most of the time, I don't get involved in it. But it's not that it doesn't come up. And so for most of us, what happens is that when we start growing, when we start feeling bigger, I'm not talking about size-wise, I'm talking about more powerful, mm-hmm. that voice comes in and squashes us down, because now we're going against the status quo. And the purpose of that voice is to keep us within certain rigid limits. And so unless we name and work with that voice and disengage from it, any kind of change isn't possible. So it's important to name it. And mostly it's important for us to see that for the most part, unless we've really worked with it, we are identified with that voice. We listen to that voice. Mm-hmm. We believe that voice. Think that voice is telling the truth. And until we can disengage from that voice and understand that that voice is not our friend, and understand that we need to separate from it, really separate from it, then no change is possible. And how that happens is by recognition. You know, I often say that seeing is freeing. So yes, we do a lot of work with disengaging from that voice in my retreats. We spend a couple of days, or I should say a couple of sessions, learning how to disengage, naming it, saying no to it, using humor to disengage from it. Any number of things that different methods work for different people. But the most important one is to name it, to see it, to recognize that it's not our friend. And I just did this last week with a group of people that I worked with, a couple of hundred women. And I just for a couple of hours, I was spending the afternoon with them, and I had asked them to write down 10 criticisms they'd made about themselves since they'd walked in the door. And there were many of them. And then I asked one of them to say it out loud, share it with the group in the voice that she talked to herself in. And that voice is so shaming. Mm-hmm. And if we believe, and that voice will say things like, I can't believe you didn't wash your hair today. And I can't believe you wore socks, or I can't believe you said that to that person in that disgusted, repulsive voice. And if we believe it, we are down a rabbit hole. We are lost. We are walk around with the tail between our legs for the rest of the day or week or year.
I'm with you. I'm so glad you do that in your retreats. To me, that is foundational work. And I remember the very first time I learned about that, probably a decade ago, I remember thinking, wait a minute, you mean I have the power to manage that and, pretty much control it. And it was like mind blowing, like, holy crap. And just the realization, I often tell people when they do that work, sometimes it gets worse before it gets better, because when you sort of uncover how badly you've been speaking to yourself, because I think for a lot of women, it's on repeat all the time. It's like this background music that they don't even know is going on. Do you find that to be true?
Yes. I've noticed that in myself.
Yeah.
Notice that unless I'm really, really careful, and it can happen for many people in the simplest things. You notice somebody else's, you're looking at your Instagram account.
Yeah. I knew you were talking about social media.
Yeah. Yep. And then you see how many people are following them and the people that are liking what they say. And suddenly, and comparative judgment is an indication of this voice.
Yes.
And so you start comparing your Instagram account to their Instagram account, or your Facebook page to their, and or what it looks like they're doing with all of the pictures that they post. And so you're comparing their outsides to your insides, mm-hmm. coming up short each time. And it can just start just like that. And so it's crucial to catch it in the very beginning. And the way you catch it is by a sinking feeling most of the time. Now, for some people, it's not sensate like that. It's not, there's a pit in their stomach, or their heart mm-hmm. feels like it's sinking, or there's a heaviness in their chest. Some people feel small and collapsed and paralyzed. Other people feel it as a sinking feeling. But if you catch it at the very beginning, that's your, I mean, of course you can catch it at any place along the spectrum, but you can stop it in its tracks. The sooner you see it, the sooner you stop it.
Yes. That's really the answer. That's what I teach people, that it's not a matter of eradicating it. And I'm so glad that you were talking about how it's universal. Everyone has it. It's just a part of the human experience. And it's about catching it as quickly as possible. And that I've seen that in my own life, where I have a mantra that I say. I say, well, that just happened. And it's not, you know, I'm not telling it to piss off. I'm not doing anything really except neutralizing it and just acknowledging, like, oh, there you are, instead of just like letting it come in the room and like make itself breakfast. So just I see it and then move on to something else. And I have found that to be the most helpful. I know that I have lots of tools for people to choose from, but I think that that is such important work. And oh my gosh. Yes, 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 yes. So I have one more question for you. I love to ask this question to especially women who work in with clients and workshops and retreats like you do. And that is, what, if anything, surprises you about the work you do with women, either now or in the last couple decades you've been doing this?
Well, I would say there are a couple of things. One is the joy of working with women that I feel each time I'm with a group of women, the earnestness, the willingness to tell the truth, to share, and also the willingness. And we didn't quite, you know, the next step after the critic or the crazy aunt in the attic is replacing that voice with a kindness mm-hmm. voice, and then going to actually the next step, which I see that women are willing to do all the time. And I ask the question almost always, tell me five things that are not wrong right now. And that changes the mood, the circuitry, the way you're thinking and seeing, because we see what we believe, and or we believe what we see what we believe. So if your beliefs actually determine what you see. So if you're telling yourself you're a lowly failure, then when you look, you'll see that.
You'll find evidence of that.
Practicing, and all it takes is 12 seconds five times a day, according to the brain scientist. That's 1 minute a day, 12 seconds five times a day, where you ask yourself what's not wrong and you let it sink into your body and really experience it. It's not enough to check it off your gratitude list. It's you've got to really feel it in your body, because to change anything, and I see that women are really willing to do this. I am always moved when I'm working in a group of women that they're willing really to change. They're open. They're okay, good. What's the next horizon? How big, how powerful is it possible for me to be? And it happens in baby steps. It doesn't happen by having the ideal vision and thinking you have to get there. Every step is one step at a time. Today, right now, what can you do?
Right now, what can you do? I love that. I actually say turtle steps, because sometimes I think baby steps are even big, but I haven't heard that brain science yet. 12 seconds five times a day, totaling 1 minute of self-compassion and self-kindness and grace. And I love that. You guys, This Messy Magnificent Life, A Field Guide, Janine Roth, the link is in the show notes. Please go out and get it. I highly recommend it. Thank you so much for being here, Janine.
Yeah, thank you so much, Andrea.
And everyone, I know you know this, but I say it every time. I'm so grateful for your time today, because I know how valuable that is. Thank you so much. And until next time, I will see you out in cyberspace. Bye-bye.
Hey, are you a parent of a teenager? Are you feeling overwhelmed about how to be what they need while also holding limits and boundaries that keep them safe? Are you tired of conversations that negate how messy this season of parenting is? Well, I've got you. My name is Casey O'Rourke. I am a positive discipline trainer, parent coach, and the host of the Joyful Courage podcast. Every week, I come to you with an interview, digging into tough topics with experts I trust and solo shows that go deep into the personal growth and mindset needed to raise teens in a way that grows them into confident, capable young people. I am not afraid of getting real about the intersection of conscious parenting and the teen years, while also bringing in vulnerability, humor, and lightness. I'm walking the path with you and honored to serve. Listen to Joyful Courage on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you consume podcasts.